Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's your do-it-yourself kit of free speech, because you can do it yourself. You can speak freely, and we'll help you, but it's not cheap. We may be easy, but we're not cheap. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, or phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. All right, this is part two of the Patrick and Jeremy Show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Patrick. It's always a great time.
It always is. And we had a good first half of the show talking about Down Syndrome Barbie. If you missed Down Syndrome Barbie, you're going to want to know what you're missing. So go back into the archives and listen to that. We talked about Tucker Carlson, of course, but we didn't get to Tucker Carlson really until the last 20 minutes or so of the show. And we talked about a bunch of the Leotards of Zion. The Protocols of Zion. That's what it's called, not the Leotards. I guess we talked about Leotards too. Anything missing? What are we going to talk about on this show?
China is rescinding its giant panda.
Oh, now that's big news. China is pulling the friendship panda from the Memphis Zoo. Okay, here's a question. Is this really a sign of bad relations between China and the United States? Or is this the panda saying, okay, I don't want to be here. This is crazy. These people are crazy. Memphis, this is dangerous. Take me back home. What's the panda saying?
I mean, it's probably a combination of that. The panda worried about, black crime in Memphis. But also there's reports in this RT article that the panda was not being properly cared for. The panda's name is Yaya.
Yaya.
She's been there for nearly 2 decades. Well, 22 years, actually. And she will return to China within the next few days.
Yeah.
There were accusations of mistreating Yaya, that she was emaciated and was developing skin conditions and unusual repetitive behavior. Yeah, that panda wants out of there, and China wants their panda back. This is not good.
Yeah. So those are giant pandas, and the giant pandas, are they white? Are they black? It's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, it's got the typical panda pattern, kind of white face with banded eyes and, black torso. Yeah, that's Yaya.
That's waiting for you.
But the Memphis Zoo has been accused of utter inability to properly care for a giant panda.
Yeah, and of course, pandas are always the crowd favorite. The giant panda, but what's really cute are the lesser pandas, also known as the red pandas. And to the extent I look at YouTube anymore, it's just pictures. I just watch videos of lesser pandas eating fruit. And I need my fix of that. Otherwise, I would have absolutely no use for YouTube.
I didn't know this, but Beijing is engaged in panda diplomacy since 1972 under Nixon.
Well, I was a beneficiary of that. And the panda diplomacy came on the heels of ping pong diplomacy, which if you watched Forrest Gump, that's when Richard Nixon sent Tom Hanks over to China to play ping pong. And that paved the way for the pandas. We got two pandas to come over here to the Washington National Zoo. I saw them. There was quite a line. And of course, Washington National Zoo was the home of Smokey Bear for quite a long time, too. I saw Smokey Bear there. And I think we sent China a couple of musk ox from Alaska, something like that. So I guess it was a pretty good deal. But it sounds kind of silly, the ping pong diplomacy and the panda diplomacy, but this is the logic for it, and it's a real logic. The United States had no diplomatic relations with the People's Republic of China in the early 1970s. It was zero because the United States recognized the government in Taipei as the government of China. So there was just no contact, and there was a lot of mistrust. And so these types of exchanges of animals, of ping pong players, these are known as confidence building measures, because in order to have the exchanges of athletes or animals, your two sides, they have to talk to each other, you know, and they have to get to know each other. And so these types of things, when you've got zero contact, these symbolic types of things actually serve a real purpose. And, you know, so it started from there. It started from Tom Hanks and his ping pong ball, and from Ling Ling and Fei Fei, or whatever their names were.
So this was on the heels of Kissinger opening up China. What's the significance of that? Because I hear that mentioned a lot.
Kissinger made a secret trip. It wasn't announced. He was the national security advisor at the time. He wasn't Secretary of State yet. And he made a secret trip to China. So that was significant. This is the type of thing that got the ball rolling. And you see this. There was very, very bad relations, and still are, between North Korea and Japan. And Japan was saying that North Korea was holding Japanese hostages, that it had kidnapped teenagers off of the beach in Japan and took them back to North Korea and was using them to train spies, you know, using them to as Japanese teachers to train spies and things like that. And there was this police officer who had become a member of parliament who was really hostile to North Korea. And then he made this secret trip to North Korea, came back. That led the way to the prime minister at the time going over. And Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il, said, "Oh, you know, now that you mention it, we had a few overzealous agents who actually did kidnap some of your people. And, you know, now that you've brought this to our attention, here, you can have them back." So, you know, I mean, these types of very symbolic things can have an important benefits, as can secret diplomacy. And then the converse of that is even symbolic sanctions, like kicking out each other's diplomats, can have a very, very negative impact.
But to say that Kissinger opened up China, so this was in the early 70s, right? You're talking about opening up trade with China, or allowing China to produce goods for America at cheap prices.
Well, none of that really happened for a couple of decades. But Kissinger's thinking, and Kissinger was somebody who thought. He was a political science professor, and he was had organized put together some sort of nonprofit or foundation that wound up being the predecessor of the World Economic Forum. He's actually one of the founders of the World Economic Forum, and Klaus Schwab is a Kissinger protege. But Kissinger's plan was to, rather than the United States having a Cold War against Russia and a Cold War against China, the idea was, hey, let's get in better relations with both Russia and China, or the Soviet Union and China, and then let them have bad relations. Let them fight it out. Which, if you're a scheming Jew, then that actually is pretty smart. If you're somebody who wants the planet to survive, trying to get your enemies to fight each other, I mean, I don't know. But it's the opposite of what's going on now. Now they're trying to fight both sides, And so what's, instead of Russia and China, being split apart, and that they're coming together now. It's kind of the opposite.
Kissinger would have gotten along well with Steinmeier, or probably did, in the more sensible approach. Yeah, the more sensible Jewish approach. And so how did Taiwan play into this at the time of Kissinger going to China? I know Taiwan was, what would you call it, an economic vassal state of the U.S. since 1949?
Yeah, it was pretty dependent on the United States, although it was already developing its industry. It was, even though it was in reasonably good economic shape after being a Japanese colony for 50 years, as a Japanese colony, it was primarily agricultural. And Chiang Kai-shek, when he took over the island and, you know, used it as the capital, it started to industrialize. And so it industrialized. And by the 1980s, you had, it was very industrial, and you had a lot of trade between Taiwan and the United States. To the extent we lost jobs to Japan, it was Japanese companies, car companies, steel companies, just out-competing Americans, car and steel and electronic companies. With Taiwan, GE actually did move operations to Taiwan. GE was a huge company. It's not nearly as important anymore, but it was a very important company. So you had American companies that were actually moving operations to Taiwan. It was kind of a different dynamic there. So that went on. But the Taiwanese, the government in Taipei did feel like they were getting stabbed in the back, because they had been faithful American allies for over two decades in the early part of the Cold War.
Yeah. Oh,
whatever.
That's interesting. You saw a lot of, in the 80s, growing up, I saw a lot of, and it probably started in the 70s, made in Taiwan toys that I played with. Also, you saw a lot of Nissan, Mitsubishi, Kawasaki products coming into the U.S. Well on in from the 70s to the 80s. So, yeah, that would explain that. Just to be clear on the Taiwan part of it, so Taiwan became economically profitable from America, and it switched to being economically profitable to China.
Yeah, and Taiwan did have its own indigenous companies. There was a plastic company. I think it was called, what was it called? Taiwan Plastics? It was something like that. And the first big investment from Taiwan into China that I remember was a naphtha cracker plant, which is some sort of massive facility. It's like an oil refinery type thing, but it makes plastics. And there was a massive plant made by, was it called Taiwan Plastics? I can't remember. And it was built across the straits. And so they were, they were building these facilities. People from Taiwan were building facilities across the straits where they speak the exact same dialect of Chinese. And, it's nearby. Communications were relatively easy, although well into the 19, I don't know when direct transport was for regular people was available. You used to have to fly to from Taiwan to Hong Kong and then go from Hong Kong to wherever in China. But even then, even 1987, Taiwan citizens Republic of China citizens couldn't even fly to Hong Kong. They had to go to Japan or somewhere else first to get to China. But those lines of communication and transportation, they got smoothed out really fast in the late 80s going into the early 90s. But we've talked about this plenty in the past. Yeah. We have another story. And this is Sergei Lavrov, who is in New York now. I don't know if you got much of a chance to look at that.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So he is presiding over the United Nations Security Council, because the Security Council, I think it's every 6 months, the chair rotates, and there's 15 countries on the Security Council. Five are permanently on there. Russia's a permanent member, but the chair rotates, and right now, for the next, I guess it's the next 6 months, it's going to be Russia's turn. And so Sergei Lavrov, while he's in town, he can chair it. Usually it would be the Russian ambassador, but he came to town, and he had quite a lot to say in this first session that he presided over. Some interesting stuff. Was there anything that stood out to you as interesting?
Well, two topics were the grain deal, which was negotiated in July of 22, extending that, which is supposed to allow Ukraine to export its grain, even though it's not going to the poor countries in Africa that need it, it's going to wealthy countries. And then another topic was the prisoner exchange, which I thought was interesting that Lavrov called out the U.S. on their treatment of Julian Assange. That was good.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't make it into this article for some reason, but I listened to an English translation of some of his remarks, and he was saying that the United States or the West or whatever euphemism he was using no longer want to abide by international law, but rather are talking about some rules-based order, the rules of which nobody knows, and there's no transparency about how they come into effect. And this is the thing. All of a sudden, they started talking about a rules-based order without saying what the rules were. It's like, well, we make the rules and we give you orders.
Well, that's the MO. I mean, that's the MO, isn't it? Jewish-dominated elites. What is hate speech? Yeah. I mean, obviously hate speech is not Tucker talking about war with China or calling out Russia for the main, CNN, talking about Russians as an ethnic group. That's not hate speech, but hate speech is calling out Jewish power. So it's, what are the rules? Will they make them up as they need them? That's why there's no rules.
Yeah. And they're making them up as they go along. He talked about Ukraine, obviously. It's going to be interesting. Now, one thing is, typically he would have had an entourage of reporters from his own country. Obviously, if Tony Blinken or Donald Trump or the Biden entity or whomever goes to another country, American reporters follow. American reporters often cause a lot of trouble. American reporters who followed, didn't even follow, but went to Beijing in the spring of 1989 to cover President Gorbachev's visit, Soviet President Gorbachev's visit to Beijing, caused a lot of trouble. They had a lot to do with the whole Tiananmen Square. So we've got our journalists going all over the place, and yet the United States would not issue passports.
To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number.
protest inside the Tennessee State Capitol yesterday raised some questions. I'm Peter Serafine with another Liberty Minute. I carry a gun to protect those around me. I'm a member of Right to Bear to protect my legal rights. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com for affordable carry insurance. Protesters swarmed the Tennessee State Capitol building yesterday as votes were being taken to expel three Democrat members of the State House. The vote to expel these three Democrats is because last week those three joined in another protest inside the Capitol building. That protest disrupted the proceedings of the legislature. I'm not sure how I feel about this. Should elected officials be removed because they protested and disrupted the proceedings? One thing I definitely noticed is that nobody is reporting on this storming of the state capitol as an insurrection. 1,000 people have been prosecuted for storming a Capitol building and disrupting an official proceeding on January 6, 2021. How is this any different? Oh, because these protesters want gun control. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and...
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong. Stay strong.
You're listening to RBN, in defense of the Republic.
Caused a lot of trouble. They had a lot to do with the whole Tiananmen Square. So we've got our journalists going all over the place, and yet the United States would not issue passports to Russian journalists coming over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was that.
He also dealt with NATO expansion. That's basically just talking about why the Ukraine conflict is happening in the first place. NATO expansion was a thing. They wanted NATO bases and bombs on the border of Ukraine pointing at Moscow. And Lavrov said that's just not acceptable. It interferes with the security of Russia. And he also dealt with the treatment of Russian-speaking citizens in the Ukraine and their mistreatment.
Mm-hmm. And he talked about...
Mm-hmm. All basic stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, and... I don't know if he said it directly. What the translation I was hearing said that the United States feels that it can just cut other countries off of, out of financial organizations, from financial services, and they can feel free to just destroy the economic infrastructure of other countries. Obviously, talking about the pipeline. Andrew Anglin wrote a story about, well, he didn't write a story. He just said that he was too busy to write a story and that there was, he's having problems with computers, and obviously he just got kicked off of Twitter. So he's got stuff going on in his life. I appreciate that. So he didn't write a story, but he included the some video of Lavrov talking. But in his summary was everything Lavrov's saying is correct. And, you know, that's where we're at right now. Here's one thing I came across recently. I am listening to a series of lectures on the Etruscans, who were the people who lived in the Italian peninsula before the Roman Empire took over the whole Italian peninsula. And I don't know why I'm listening to this series of lectures on it. I don't know if they're that important. But here's one thing that really stood out to me. You know how Etruscans executed people?
No.
I don't expect you to.
I don't.
I certainly didn't know. They didn't chop their heads off. They didn't crucify them. They didn't impale them with a sword. They tied them to a corpse. They tied them to a corpse. And if you're just like, if you're chained or tied to a corpse and you can't get rid of that corpse, you're going to die. And that's how they executed people. And that's really cruel. But here's why it's like stands out to me. Here's why it makes such an impression to me. You've got these countries like Japan, like Germany, like a lot of countries in NATO that are tied to the United States, and they're tied to our corpse. We've got a corpse. I'm sorry. That's the way I see it. We've got, it's a zombie corpse, and these other countries are tied to it, and they're going to die if they don't manage to get the hell away. I don't know if they're going to do it. What do you think of that analogy?
Yeah, I mean, it's the death of the West. I mean, the death of America and empire is the death of Europe. And it's like the adults in the room are, you know, Putin, Lavrov, and Xi Jinping, you know, trying to say, hey, let's be reasonable about this. And the West is like, no, we're not going to be reasonable. And so, yeah, the countries in Europe are going to suffer greatly. That's a great analogy. I had read that somewhere. I didn't understand it initially with the Etruscans, but I had read somewhere that that was a form of torture or, you know, execution. Tying someone to a corpse is very morbid.
Yeah.
Putrid, you know, yeah. Dead thing. God, you're gonna catch all the diseases from it. And you can't maneuver. You can't move around. You're not free to move. I mean, that's definitely a picture of Europe right now. You know, whereas if, so for example, if Germany would just cut its ties to that corpse, you know, it could have, you know, great, efficient energy from Russia through the Nord Stream. But the people that rule Germany are not willing to do that.
It's really insane that Germany is now effectively being ruled by the Green Party, because the prime minister, who's not the Green Party, he's from a larger party, but he's such a weak individual. He's got his vice premier and his foreign minister are Greens, and the foreign minister in particular, this girl who used to jump on trampolines, literally, I mean, she was a competitive trampoline jumper. Annalena Ballerina Baerbock. She seems to be probably the most important person in Germany now. And from some accounts, she's even popular. But she's the one pressing for World War III. She's the one who says, we're going to send aid to Ukraine. We're going to do everything we can.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Xtendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Xtendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Xtendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Xtendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
From some accounts, she's even popular, but she's the one pressing for World War III. She's the one who says we're going to send aid to Ukraine. We're going to do everything we can for Ukraine, regardless of what the German people think. And this is just, it's insane that they've gotten to this position. But I would have never guessed that it would have been the German Green Party leading Germany into World War III. Maybe I shouldn't be too surprised. They had this Jewish foreign minister named Oscar Fischer, I think that was his name, or Yosker Fischer, and he was Jewish. He was a Green, and that was during the Gulf War. And the Greens supported, not the Gulf War, the Iraq invasion 20 years ago. And the Greens supported that, which was a shock to me. But to be not just following the crowd, but out in front. It's very, very perplexing to me.
The Jewish-dominated elite seems to be hell-bent on overthrowing Putin. And I guess if they engage in this Taiwan conflict, they would hope to overthrow Xi Jinping. I mean, if that's, certainly they don't want World War III. I mean, I don't think anybody really wants that. Certainly these people understand that would be the collapse of global civilization for all countries involved. So maybe they're just thinking that the Taiwan thing would, you know, help to overthrow Xi. I don't know. What do you think of that? Why this conflict in Taiwan?
The conflict with Taiwan? I had explained it before, and I don't know if I'm right or not, but this is my working theory that, the Jews do want to dominate the world. They actually want to. Hitler didn't want to take over the world. There have been people who wanted to, I guess, take over the known world. Maybe Alexander, maybe Genghis Khan. But Hitler wasn't one of them. But Trotsky, I mean, obviously Trotsky. No, you can't have socialism in one country. You have to have world revolution. Well, what's that? That's taking over the world. And so what the neocons have been doing, look at the name of neocon think tanks. Like you had the Project for a New American Century, right? The whole century, 100 years, it's going to be an American century. And this is a foreign policy one. I guess Victoria Nuland's group was called the Project for a New American, was it a New American Peace? It was a New American something. But they really, really do want to take over the world. Well, if you want to take over the world, there are enemies. And the big ones, of course, are Russia and China. But Israel's more immediate, more pressing enemy is Iran. And so the way I explained it is you have kind of the Netanyahu faction of Jews who see Iran. They want war with Iran first, right? And then you have the more American diaspora-oriented faction like Victoria Nuland, who Wendy Sherman, the number two person in the State Department, who had been the lead negotiator for the Iran nuclear deal, who want confrontation with Russia. And having a war with Iran would be a distraction. It would it could reduce a lot of support for war. So those people wanted war with Russia. And my explanation about China, why China, I think a lot of it comes from Goyim, especially in the Pentagon. It comes from Goyim in the Pentagon who have completely internalized Jewish values, who refuse to see the United States as being a Jewish-dominated society. They see American interests. They don't see the difference between American interests and Jewish interests. The Jews have taken over the state, and these people in the military and probably people like Tucker Carlson can only think of state interests as the interests of the people who are running the state. And they say, well, wait a minute. China's the strong one. China's the one we need to take on. Well, why do we need to take it on? To make the world safe for Jewish power. But they don't even understand. So that's the way I've explained it. I don't know. That might not be a good explanation. But I see that the push for war with China, that China is an enemy because it ultimately has to be defeated in order to make the world safe for Jewish power. But that the people who are prioritizing war with China over war with Russia or Iran are not necessarily even Jews so much as non-Jews who have internalized those values, but are thinking logically that China's is, the biggest threat, and that's who you got to take out first. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I concur. I'm going to go back to this point that you made of Hitler not wanting to take over the world. I mean, certainly you have some over-the-top writings of Nietzsche and talking about domination of the, the Aryan race, the perfect race. And I mean, you gotta say, I mean, the Germans were at the forefront of innovation, I mean, economically and technologically. Hello, Operation Paperclip. So I think what Hitler initially, the first step was restoring the Second Reich, and which is why he invaded Poland. He wanted to get Danzig back, and also in France, he wanted to get these territories back from Germany.
that were lost at the Treaty of Versailles. I think Hitler saw that either he would dominate Europe or the Jewish Bolsheviks under Stalin would dominate Europe. And once Europe was dominated by the Third Reich, I think he foresaw a time when he could work with America and sort of bring this utopia to the globe. So, I mean, I would argue that in that aspect, maybe you could say that he wanted to take over the world, but it's not like, you know, with what Jewish-dominated Hollywood portrays. You know what I mean? So what was the result? Well, what was the result of the U.S. and the British Empire teaming up with Russia to crush Germany? Well, the result was Eastern Europe, and you could argue half the globe was given over to communism. So, I mean, he foresaw that and he wanted to stop that. So he thought if he could dominate Europe, and subdue Russia, that, you know, he could bring the German economic miracle to all of the West. So maybe that is the aspect in which people speak of. Maybe that's the truth. Maybe that's the synthesis, right? Mm-hmm. Of the, Hitler wanting to dominate the world. Once he established the Third Reich, which, you know, there was talks of it lasting 1,000 years, whatever. But he thought that he could stop Bolshevism because he saw that as a threat. I mean, you know, a couple of weeks after Hitler invaded Poland, you had Russia invade Poland, right? But yet the West sided with Russia rather than Europe. So the West had a choice to make at that point. Do we side with the communists or the National Socialists? And they chose the communists. And the results are, you know, in history. So I just wanted to speak to that point of Hitler dominating the globe. I think that was probably his mindset. I don't know. Do you have thoughts on that?
I have opinions about Hitler, but like Hitler hasn't been the, ever, a main focus of mine. I mean, I think it's obvious that nobody could be as villainous as the, Hitler that's portrayed to us. I mean, that's just so obvious. Nobody could be like that. The main criticism I have of Hitler is that after 12 years, his country lay in ruin, and maybe the job that he was trying to accomplish was way harder than anybody could have thought. But at any rate, tried and failed. People like Gorbachev tried and failed. Just because somebody tried and failed, I don't reject them, but I do acknowledge that in the end they failed.
I mean, Hitler's Achilles heel there was aiding Mussolini when Mussolini, for some reason, wanted to invade Greece, and that delayed Germany's invasion of Russia by at least a month, and they got caught in the winter. So that was kind of the turning point of World War II there. No, I think Hitler wanted to bring the German economic miracle to all of Europe. So if you want to say he wanted to dominate the world, in that context, sure. But I think it was more in the context of working with America and the West, you know, to bring about in Germany, to bring that about in all of Europe. And, because Hitler greatly admired the American, you know, industrial spirit. He couldn't understand why we embraced jazz and all of that, but, he did admire the Americans. So I think there's a lot of nuance there, but we definitely got on a tangent.
Well, okay. Hey, this is what I want to go to. Because there's only 10 minutes left. So the Biden has announced he's running for president again. And I guess he's getting his basement ready. I don't know. What do you make of that?
I don't know. If you remember, predicted? That's a strong word. I sort of
forecast.
Forecast is a great word that the Biden and, chlamydia or Kamala Harris would be the nominees for the Democrat Party. And right now, I don't know what to make, because they're going to have to get rid of Biden. Certainly, they don't think that he can run and participate in debates. Now, I don't think that the 2024 election is going to be fair at all. So maybe it really doesn't matter. But, you know, in the spirit of discussing it as to who's running, it's going to be Trump. And I don't know who Trump's running mate is going to be. I do not think Trump's running mate is going to be Tucker. I think Tucker's job is to start his own radio show like Rush Limbaugh and sort of take the place of Rush. That's what I think Tucker's job is and where he's being pushed. Definitely it would be lucrative for him. As far as the Democrats, I don't know. They're going to have to come up with two people that are not Biden Harris if they want to be, you know, try to be, appease the public and be successful. But I mean, really, if we're doing mail-in ballots in eight states, does it matter who they come up with? They could definitely run the Biden and Kamala. You know, if they really want them in, they can manipulate the election again. There's been no election reform. No one is pushing back against it. It's kind of like they're pushing everyone in and just going back to business as usual.
Well, there's pushback, but, the thing is, the people who have been brainwashed into not liking Trump, or just, you know, for whatever reason, don't like Trump or the Republicans, they are comfortable with the election cheating. If for Biden and he's going to be running with Harris, apparently, for them to win for there to be enough election fraud for them to be declared the winners again, there'd have to be a lot more election fraud. But, you know, then really how many people who were comfortable with the last election and the level of fraud there and can either are comfortable with it or can be in the denial about it? If you have to ramp up the fraud that much more, probably most people will remain comfortable. Most people probably don't care. I don't know. But, you know, they're either because they didn't care to use as much fraud in last November, or because they couldn't. You know, the Democrats had to lose control of the House of Representatives. And so I don't know. We'll just have to see what happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, just to push back a little bit, no disrespect, but I mean, how effective was that? That Republican Congress now has created legislation for homo marriage. So it's not just a court decision anymore. It's you know, federal legislation on the books. And that took the Republican-dominated Congress to do that.
Well, so, I'm not saying that
yeah.
Being a Republican House of Representatives is a victory in terms of policy or anything. I'm just saying that they were declared the winners of elections. I mean, you could get Trump, you could get a big red wave. Would it change the most important things? I mean, you could have the biggest landslide election ever. Would that reverse the demographics at all?
Well, I mean, the two top GOP candidates are Trump and DeSantis. Both want war with China. Both are Zionists.
I don't know if Trump wants war with China, but he could be dragged into it. Trump's shown he can be manipulated into all sorts of things.
You get Trump in a presidency, and they sink a U.S. ship off, you know, in the Chinese Sea. You know, that would do it. It would be real easy to do it.
That is the type of thing. That is the type of thing. And this is how they got Trump to have missile strikes against Syria, for instance, by saying, you know, we always joke that it's Ivanka saying, "I want a pony," but they faked a gas attack. I mean, that video of these people sitting in, I guess, like a urgent care waiting room with white dust on them, and then all of a sudden these guys in like white hats. They were, what was it, the White Cross? And they came in and just started dumping water on people's heads. Yeah. And somehow that was proof of a poison chemical attack.
But I mean, that was easy. Do you think these people wouldn't sink their own U.S. ship to do a Pearl Harbor or even a, what was the thing that got us into the Spanish-American War?
The Maine. The Maine.
I mean, it's so easy. They go back to that playbook.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Maine, I think, was just a, like an engine blowing up for whatever.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
with
States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
I mean, it's so easy. They go back to that playbook.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Maine, I think, was just a, like an engine blowing up for whatever reason, because engines blow up sometimes, but it was spun into an attack when it wasn't an attack.
Well, the point being is that there's not going to be fair elections, and even if we get Trump and DeSantis, or Trump and whoever, and they can easily be pulled into a war with China. That's what both sides want. And we're still going to have white genocide. We're still going to have all these horrible policies with trannies and homo marriage. And I think the only The only thing that would get us out of this is a total and utter collapse of the federal government, with the American populace and the state legislatures and governors do not acknowledge the federal government anymore. You know, no confidence.
And the most likely way from point A to point B, from getting from here to there, the most likely way would be the United States losing a war. Hopefully not a nuclear war.
I mean, there you go. I don't think there is a way forward without the collapse of the federal government.
And I don't think the federal government is collapsing without losing a war. Although, you know, maybe like real hyperinflation, which I don't think is likely. I think hyperinflation is likely, but I think the war is probably the most likely thing.
I mean, whether it's Biden, Harris, or Trump and DeSantis, you know, they're going to do some sort of, you know, aggression to China. And, I mean, that's where we're at. So, man, that's a black pill, isn't it? Do you have any black?
Here's the one thing about Trump, is he's funny, right? Even sometimes he's not trying to be, but he is funny. And Biden's not funny. And, you know, Harris can be ridiculous, but it's fun to make to call her chlamydia. But, you know, we might as well have some entertainment. I went to Mount Rushmore and I inspected it, and there's enough rock left there for both Trump and his haircut. So, let's, you know, if we're gonna go off to World War III, we might as well have some laughs on the way.
Okay, so do you want me to make a forecast? Well, I'll do a forecast.
You make the forecast. You were right last time, and I was completely wrong.
Trump and DeSantis in the White House, conflict with China, they sink an American ship, and we go full out conflict over Ukraine. And we go into some sort of cold war with China. I don't think it's going to go nuclear. I don't think anybody wants that. And under the cold war, they just repress the people even more, just like the virus, the so-called the alleged virus of Corona. And you know, eventually people just lose faith in the government. But it's going to, you know, I think what the system, the Jewish dominated system, fears more than anything, they don't want the people to lose faith in elections. So if they can put Trump and DeSantis in, that might convince the right wing that, hey, maybe the system's still legit and we got some hope. It's just, you know, doing that false hope thing. Trump and DeSantis would just be a false hope, or Trump and whoever. There you go. There's my forecast.
Okay. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining me, Jeremy.
Thank you for having me, Patrick. You stay classy.
I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Legal Radio.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.